Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Doug, you requested New Edition?
Yeah.
We brought you New Edition.
Mr. Nice. Telephone Man, Doug, you wanted that.
Thank you, Palsy.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you, and it is our pleasure to welcome into the Gateway Buick GMC Studios the alderman of the 20th Ward, ladies and gentlemen, Kara Spencer. Alderman, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming out here and joining us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Good to be here.
We're flattered that you would consider our show a place to express yourself.
Yeah, what is that about? Because
somebody gave you bad information.
Yeah, I look at this show as sort of just a mistake, you know?
Let's blame Tony Messenger.
Tony Messenger, Doug. Tony Messenger again.
You've never heard this show, have you? You haven't listened to it?
There's no way in the world.
Well, you know, I don't do a lot of radio listening, I'll be honest.
What do you listen to? Podcasts?
I do. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
What podcasts do you listen to? I'm interested in this.
You know, I listen to a lot of NPR podcasts, news, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Politically speaking is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Pod Save America.
I haven't heard that one.
Really? Is that right?
I'll have to check it out.
No, it's a Pod Save America. I don't think you're listening to Pod Save America.
If I had
to guess on the whole thing. So, Kara, you have gotten the attention of sports fans in St. Louis with your thoughts on what is going on with the Scott Trade Center renovations. You've been on Frank Cusimano's show before. As we sit here on October 17th, what is the state of this discussion?
Well, what we're looking at right now is providing a mechanism for a new funding stream to pay for the upgrades of the Scott Trade Center. I've got a bill that I introduced a couple weeks ago at the Board of Aldermen, which would provide for a sports and entertainment facility fund. And that fund would be funded by fees on tickets. And what that will allow us to do is provide a mechanism for sports and entertainment facilities to access money to upgrade their facilities. It would also provide a mechanism for a MLS or NBA team to come in and access funds and provide a mechanism for them to upgrade their facilities or even build facilities in the future.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know some of the renovations, they've already done them, the new scoreboard, a lot. So is that not paid for? Is this about who ends up paying for some of the stuff that's been done?
That's right. Well, what it is about how the city accumulates the money to be able to pay for those. You're right. A lot of the upgrades have already been done. It's my understanding that the hockey ownership group has taken out loans to pay for those upgrades. And what we're looking to do is to protect the general revenue for the city of St. Louis. As you guys know, I mean, the city of St. Louis is not in a very strong financial position right now. We have a public safety crisis on our hands, essentially. Yeah. A good friend of mine was just shot in the chest last night. I mean, we have real serious issues that we have. What we want to do is protect the general revenue and make sure that we can provide city services to our residents, not risk that, okay? And understanding that upgrading our facilities should be a priority. We need to find a mechanism to do that. But what we have to do is have a regional solution to some of these things. Saddling the St. Louis city taxpayers alone is going to bankrupt our city.
When you discuss this, oftentimes you use that term regional solution. It sounds great, but what is the true pragmatic application for that to actually occur?
Yeah, so that's a good question. You know,
good work, Tim.
Thank you, Alderman.
I'll give you a feather. Yeah, I brought some feathers for your cat.
Don't lose focus. It's easy to do that.
We're children, just so you know, you're dealing with children.
Beware.
I've got one of my own. When you look at who's going to the facilities here, 50% of the fan base is between St. Louis City and St. Louis County. But a good number, only 11% of the fans actually live in the city of St. Louis, the regular visitors to Scott Trade. 16%, on the other hand, live on the other side of the river. They live in Illinois. So when you're looking at creating a regional taxing structure, to do it correctly and really accommodate and include all those who enjoy the facility would require a bi-state taxing entity, which would quite literally take an act of Congress to get us there. What we're looking at is a very difficult thing to achieve. So barring that and understanding, you know, that St. Louis County was invited to the table, they chose not to participate in the original deal, we are looking outside what the city can do without that, without those other team players coming to the table. And that looks like a ticket tax, essentially. We're taxing those that are coming to the facility. And the beauty of it, quite frankly, is that the hockey ownership group, when you buy a ticket to go see the Blues, you have a $3.50 facility fee already tacked on there. Now, right now, that money is just being added to the revenue stream for the team, which is a good thing for the team. But we also know that we have some of the lowest hockey prices in the country. So there's and other teams are doing this exact same thing. Just add a little bit of tax to the ticket price, put that in a safe fund. And we have very clearly outlined this is not going to be for anything else. Okay. The money that goes into this will be specifically and exclusively for the use of city-owned sports and entertainment facilities. And we've included in the language of the bill that $65 million of it right off the bat can be bonded out specifically to pay back the bonds that were required for the upgrades as laid out in the original bill passed in February. So we're not cutting anything out. We recognize that this needs to be a top-notch facility for our region. But again, we have to protect the general revenue of the city.
So so what is the argument against the plan to charge the extra tax on the tickets? What obviously, well, there's always two sides to
the
story.
Blues have come out against it. Their lawyer was quoted in the Business Journal last week saying, hey, look, that $3.50, that's our revenue. Keep your hands off our revenue. And what I'm saying is we can increase that if you want, but if you're going to charge your fans a facility fee, that money really ought to be used for the facility, and we shouldn't be taxing the city on top of that. Let's be honest about what we're charging our fans here. Let's put the facility fee in a fund specifically for the facility, and let's use it to upgrade it.
So their argument would be higher ticket prices. Some people won't come now.
Sure, but guess what? We already have some of the lowest ticket prices in the nation. And with these upgrades, a little bit of increase is going to be warranted. We know that. And the Blues are expecting to increase their ticket prices because of it, right? And really, honestly, what we've proposed is a 5% on the tickets. That works out to be $3.50 on the average ticket price of $70 to $80 a pop. But really, if you're buying a lower cost ticket, 5% is really not that big of a deal.
Kara Spencer is our guest. She's the alderman of the 20th Ward, and she is with us here on 590 The Fan KFNS. So what would you describe as the end game? If aldermen already approved a deal once and the comptroller stands in the way, what's to stop that from happening again?
You know, this is actually the beauty of the solution. You know, that can continue to go forward. What was proposed in the original bill is simply a set of upgrades paid for by the city. And what I'm proposing that we do is provide a mechanism to get the money to repay those bonds. So, you know, I mean, your question being, you know, should the city be really renegotiating things? And we can get into the whole, hey, look, we didn't have all the information when we were deliberating it the first time. We didn't have the lease. The lawyers for the other side clearly misrepresented what was in the lease. There were some bad things that happened there. That,
so you're saying the lawyers for the Blues or Scott Trade Center misrepresented what was in the lease? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. That's precisely what happened. I mean, the lawyers came down with the absence of the lease before us, said, hey, look, the lease is largely silent on upgrades. When we finally got our hands on the lease, it didn't say that. It said quite the opposite.
And what did it say?
It said that the Blues and the hockey ownership group was clearly responsible for those upgrades. So, you know, I mean, we were negotiating sort of under bad information, essentially. That's water under the bridge. You know, I mean, I don't think that we can blame the Blues for that. They didn't come before us and say that. There was some misunderstanding of some of the legal documents and the bindings between the city and the hockey ownership group. At the end of the day, we need to move forward in a positive way here, and we need to make sure that the whole rest of the upgrades are done, that they are done in a way, again, that protects the city's general revenue. I mean, my question would be, you know, if we don't find another funding stream that's outside of city general revenue, the S&P came and gave us their report. They said, if you guys in the city, you know, allocate money to any other expenditure without reducing costs on the back end somewhere, we will downgrade your credit again. So my question is, where in the budget are we going to find these payments of several million dollars a year, you know, out of general revenue? It makes no sense. If we could have protected general revenue in the beginning and just used the tax dollars that the upgrades would, you know, add on to our revenue, that'd be one thing. But that's not what we did here. We're going to have to cut out of the police budget. We're going to have to cut out of, you know, boarding up vacant buildings. We're going to have to cut out of streets. It's going to come from somewhere. And our solution here is to have the fans come to the table and participate a little bit more.
Alderman, what kind of response are you getting? There's, of course, your constituency in the 20th Ward, which may be one response versus people who hear you and maybe Blues fans and don't like to hear what you're saying. So what is the response you've been getting?
Yeah, I mean, it's been mixed, but, you know, I have a lot of friends who are Blues fans, and, you know, they don't want to be responsible for bankrupting the city. They're okay paying a little, by and large, paying just a few dollars more a ticket. I think that this enhances the experience for Blues fans coming down to the games. And I think people are largely find this to be reasonable, you know, at the end of the day. Maybe they don't want to pay an extra $2 a ticket, but I think by and large, folks find it to be reasonable. We're not trying to stand in the way of progress. We're trying to make sure that we're protecting our city's bottom line. And I think people can respect that. That's why I asked to come on your show here to explain the solution in reasonable terms. I think, once you really get into the nitty gritty, you say, okay, look, we're not trying to, you know, rip the scoreboard out and sell it to another city. We're just trying to make sure that we're paying for it in a responsible way.
You made reference to the $3.50 average quote unquote tax that's currently going to the organization. That's correct?
Yep, that's right.
How common for the other NHL teams with that, where the organization gets to keep that?
Where, you know, that is a good question. It varies tremendously.
Big interview, Tim.
Yeah, okay. That two feathers for you, Tim. That's great.
Thank you. Clip that off, Flatboy.
Don't give him any
Sorry,
feathers.
Kara. I had a great, had a great exchange going, and then it becomes a moron festival again. Yep. Sorry. Focus.
No, so
that's my fault.
It varies. So, you know, ticket fees, you know, vary anywhere from a couple bucks to $10, $12, on some teams. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the ownership group keeps that, but largely those are going into the facilities in one way or the other. You know, when you buy a ticket, there's lots of creative ways that you can tack on fees to your customers at the end of the day. You could put a lights fee on there. You could put a, you know, sidewalk and seats fee on there. It's really just a way to just separate out what you're charging your customer. People, you know, teams get very creative in that. But honestly, the ticket fees are very common, and they do range, you know, up to 10, 12 bucks a ticket. This is kind of on the low mod range. You know, 5% is very, you know, it's very, very reasonable. And again, we have a lot of room to grow that because our ticket prices right now are fairly low.
You know, there's a lot of talk about connecting the county, as you know, and the city. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but when I hear positive responses, it's usually in regard to some sort of sports partnership.
Yep.
Because there's more power to try to keep, say, an NFL team here or bring an MLS team here. What are your thoughts on that and the future for some sort of at least sports partnership where there's more leverage and bargaining power to keep or bring a team here?
I would love that. I mean, you know, I mean, we can start to fund some of these things if we had more dialogue between our leadership in the city and the county. And we have to remember, it's not just St. Louis City and St. Louis County. We've got St. Charles County. We've got St. Clair County. I mean, we are a region that is really sprawling. And so you're going to have to bring a lot of these, heads of state, so to speak, or heads of municipalities to the table to really create a regional entity that can compete on a national and international level, not just for sports, but I mean, Amazon, business, bringing jobs and opportunity to our region. Right now, we're very fractionated, and it is quite literally holding us back from being an international city.
You think that
was my
really,
question?
Really
good. Was my question?
You know what? That was a good question.
If you ask for it, I don't think it counts. I just don't. Doug, you had a question.
Does everybody have a bell? Can I get a bell?
I don't get a bell over here.
There you go. There you go. You got a bell.
Do you think it's even reasonable that all these people can come together because the mayors and the county executive, they all like their little power, and nobody seems willing to give any of it up.
You know, us aldermen are guilty of that too. I mean, we all are. But you know, I think one thing that was really hopeful was the kind of coming together and the cooperation involved in the Amazon proposal. I found that to be really hopeful. And I hope to see actions like that moving forward. We've got to come together and recognize the assets that the city and the region provide. And we've got to work together. I mean, right now, the city has the region's poverty. We have the city's crime. We have some of the region's hardest issues, social issues to deal with. And, you know, we have to come together. I mean, I know that it often looks like the city is the, you know, redheaded stepchild looking for solutions. But we also have the culture. We're also the cultural hub. We have the zoo and sports entertainment facilities and all those things. So, you know, and the tax base lives largely outside of the city. So let's work together to bring the whole region up. Because if the city, you know, fails and goes bankrupt, the whole region is going to sink a notch or two. And that's going to be really bad for our overall regional economy.
And you might have stated this, I'm not for sure, and I apologize if you have. Have you crunched the numbers, or do you have an annual assessment of what this trust will end up being after a blue season? If you take the 5% or the $3.50 annually, is there a number that you have?
Wow, good question.
Because I didn't know if this was going to be a 10-year process.
Carol rang the bell for the plow
hawk. I appreciate it.
That's a good question. No, the beauty, I mean, really, it's phenomenal. That $3.50, 5%. Get you exactly where you need to be. I mean, precisely. And in fact, we're projecting that it will produce a little bit of extra funds, a little bit of extra money to be either bonded out in the future for future upgrades, or again, to attract and provide some seed money for an MLS, an NBA, another sports and entertainment facility. Now, again, this fee is only going to be assessed on city-owned sports and entertainment facilities. And that way, if the city owns the building or city owns the land underneath it, you know, there's a mechanism to save and pay for these things.
Well, you know, with the MLS thing, I got the sense that there's a portion of the folks in the city that were against MLS. And I think that the rationale is pretty good. We have so many other problems. Is this what we need to be looking at? Other people say, well, you know, that's part of progress and bringing more people into the city. Where do you weigh in? Were you for MLS and the funding for some sort of facility to attract a team?
Look, I love soccer. I played soccer my whole life. My kid plays soccer every two. He's got soccer practice tonight. I want to see an MLS team here. I think it'd be great for the region. It's an international sport. It's a very inexpensive sport for kids to play. We've got soccer fields all over the city. But again, what I don't want to see is general revenue being used for it. Providing a mechanism like this, a very small, modest ticket fee, is an easy way to get that done, to have a public partnership. That partnership just looks like a instead of a tax being on your, you know, home, it's a tax on the tickets for the people that are going to the games.
What are you hearing about the city's attempt to lure Amazon here? We have a realistic shot at that?
I haven't heard much more that's been in the news, to be honest with you. But again, I think that that partnership, that collaboration is really a good step. And if regardless of the outcome with Amazon, laying the groundwork for those regional for that regional discussion to take place is really important. And I think this is the first step in a larger, movement for the region to continue those kind of dialogues.
Kara Spencer, the alderman of the 20th Ward, is our guest in studio here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A number of texts are coming in, Kara, 855-282-8255. Brother Abear asking this question. Ms. Spencer, how is it possible that the landlord didn't have a copy of the lease, and then how can it be called water under the bridge if, in fact, it was misrepresented?
Well, that's an excellent question. Why didn't the city have a lease? During deliberations, my colleagues were asking for it. It's on record. Asked for it several times. Why it wasn't produced is beyond me. I think that's a...
Who did you ask? Who did you ask to give? It would seem, if it's a city-owned place, it would seem like the city would have it at the ready.
City. The city was there, obviously, during the deliberations. We asked the lawyer for the Blues, who spoke at length about the lease, spoke very authoritatively about the lease. Could we produce these documents? We'd like to take a look at it. Leasing documents can be very confusing because you can upgrade them, update them several times. So the question was, you know, even though you can go to the registrar's office, you know, where is the most current version and of the lease, and how has it been updated over the years?
Who in the city would be responsible for making that at the ready for you guys?
You know, I mean, that's a good question. I think that St. Louis Development Corporation, yes, three.
I don't have a feather yet.
Well, there's four feathers altogether,
okay,
I guess.
Thank you. With.
All right. So, I don't know if you can ding your own bell, though.
Yeah, we do it here.
So I think it would be the folks presenting the bill, I think, have a responsibility. Looking through our rules.
But wait, can I just get, because... And I'm just playing devil's advocate, and I don't know as much as I should about this, but it does seem bizarre to me. And even when you first brought it up, it's a city-owned facility, and so it's your lease that you have an agreement with the Blues, and yet you don't know what's in it. Someone in the city, it would be their job to oversee those sort of things. Who would that be? I'm going to ask you again, like, whose job would that be with the city? If you guys say, hey, we need the lease to work on this deal, can we have it? And you don't have it. Who should be able to do that for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, going back through our Board of Aldermen rules to determine, you know, is it required to have these documents? And right now it's not. That's something I'm looking to change in the future because, quite frankly, it's an embarrassment. And I think it's a mark against us as a deliberative body that we should never be deliberating essentially what we did with that board bill was shift the burden of responsibility for upgrading the facility from the private sector to the public sector without any working knowledge of what the original binding agreement looked like. And I don't think that's a responsible way to legislate. Now, I don't think that it's responsible for the folks that were asking for the upgrades to come before us and essentially discuss a lease without being willing to share it. There was issues on both sides here. And that is why I say, we're not here to cast blame. I think there's blame to go around. What we're looking to do is find solutions. Okay. The Blues are on the hook right now for the upgrades. There's a lawsuit pending that can pend for years. Okay. Regardless of the outcome, the first round, there's an appeal process that can continue ad nauseum for years. Let's get beyond that and let's find a solution that makes sense. And let's find a solution that makes sense not only to move forward with all the upgrades, but again, to protect the city's general revenue.
I'm going to read some of the texts coming in. As you can imagine, sometimes they're not positive. Doug, we've experienced that for 13 years doing this.
Let's bleep out the four-letter words.
Absolutely. And I am. I'm editing on
my
the
kid's going to listen to this later.
Regardless of her ideas moving forward, what right does she have to break the law on a process that has already been completed?
It's not breaking the law. So the lawsuit I filed alleges essentially that we as a city broke state law by allocating tax dollars to a private for-profit entity. It's against state statute for a municipality under the state of Missouri to do that. And what we're doing here is basically providing taxpayer dollars for a scoreboard and other things that are very specific to a for-profit entity. That's my lawsuit. We are not breaking the law. And in fact, the contract hasn't been signed yet. I mean, what we passed was an ordinance that authorized the issuance of bonds, but the comptroller hasn't signed those. So it'd be just like you going out negotiating the price of a home, deciding that, yeah, you guys are both good on both sides. And then, you know, before you actually get the title of the house, those closing documents, you go and replace the roof. Okay. The deal is not done until the bonds are signed, and the bonds haven't been signed. And honestly, you know, that's where the second lawsuit where the Blues are suing the comptroller comes in. And the comptroller, it has very strong legal standing. It wasn't thrown out of court. Okay. That It's her job as our comptroller to protect our city's financial interests. And when the S&P and Moody's comes and says, we're going to downgrade you unless you can identify where in the city's budget you're going to make cuts to accommodate this new expenditure, we're going to downgrade you. And the comptroller says, I'm not having that. We've already had two downgrades. The more we downgrade our credit, the less serious we look as a municipality for investment and for future growth. And we can't have that. And not only that, it makes it more difficult and more expensive for the city to do business.
Hmm. So how do you think this all plays out here a year from now? What do you think we're looking at?
I think we're looking at a little, small, modest ticket price, a ticket fee that goes in and gets us to where we need to go.
And just like that, and the Blues will drop their lawsuit against you?
We'll drop, you know, we move forward with this, we'll drop our lawsuit, and presumably we can, with that new funding mechanism, the comptroller will then be more comfortable, will be more comfortable to issue the bonds.
Now, you realize that taxes tend never to be rolled back and just keep going up. If you're a Blues fan, and again, I'm playing devil's advocate,
sure.
Because I'm not buying a lot of Blues tickets, I get to go and cover it. But I think they're concerned, okay, this one-time thing could be another time, and next thing you know, reasonably priced tickets are out of the reach of some folks.
Well, look, the Blues have a pretty sweetheart deal right now, probably the best in the nation. They don't pay anything. They pay a dollar in rent. They don't pay any property taxes. The amusement tax that was applied to the tickets previously is awarded in full back to them for the upgrade of the Peabody, which is right next door, which is under their control as well. They have a pretty sweet deal. So, I mean, this is really the only ticket, the only tax that doesn't, besides a sales tax, that doesn't go directly back to the organization. So, I mean, this is a very, very, very small component of the overall ticket price. I mean, a dollar in rent. Can you imagine? If you have a facility that's that big and that's all you're paying for it, you pay zero in property taxes.
How does that compare to other markets?
I mean, it's varied. You know,
I'm just saying, is that like a huge outlier relative to other?
Yes.
It is.
I mean, I think so. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, you have facilities that are owned by municipalities, owned by private ownership. I mean, it really does vary. There's not a, you know, sort of one size fits all. There are facilities that are being built right now that have zero public input and they're just 100% privately invested. It just depends on the market. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you're not paying anything in rent, you don't pay property taxes, who's going to pay for the police to make sure your fans are safe when they come down there? Who's going to pay for the roads?
I get that the city but I will say, I know firsthand that the Blues, it's not like they're making money hand over fist. Their profit margin is close. They're not affluent by any means compared to a lot of other franchises, as I understand it. You disagree with that?
You know, I don't know. They didn't bring their financials down there. But I have to say the Blues are probably doing better than the city right now, who has continued to lose. We have continued to bleed out our reserve fund year after year since 2008.
Agreed. I know the city's tough. I get that.
So
I know that your police don't make enough money. I know there's not enough police, which should be priority number one. They're just tough choices.
But
at the
same
time, You want to continue growth and have Blues fans go down there because it is a partnership.
I do, but and you know, if what we had been looking at originally was some upgrades that the city came to the table for, that additional new tax dollars generated by the upgrades could validate, we would be in a totally different conversation. But what we're looking at is additional tax dollars plus general revenue. We're going to have to cut in. It's not like these upgrades are bringing in so many new fans that this makes sense. It just financially, the numbers don't work out.
No, I understand that. So, but you got to, as you said earlier, you have to continue to upgrade facilities to stay competitive and keep people wanting to go.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to pay $3.50 extra?
Just going to say I'm a diehard Blues fan. I pay for tickets. I would be more than happy to even pay more than that, because as a fan, you go for
the experience.
You go for the experience, and I feel like if you're getting something for your money, like a new scoreboard, like maybe newer seats, or maybe expand the arena if that was possible, I'd be all for it.
Great. Well, and that's largely the response I've gotten, which I think is really a testament to the Blues fans out there. I think a lot of folks aren't, they're not saying, look, I can't stomach another $3. They're saying, look, we get it. We want our team to succeed. We're willing to pay for it. And, we're happy to come down.
So I want to follow the math on this. And I know your background's in math. Am I correct on that?
It is. Okay. Well, you look me up.
Absolutely. You got to do a little research for the program. So, and I always like that because you can't argue over the numbers. The numbers are what they are. Other things can be subjective. You like hockey, you don't like hockey. You like sports, you don't like sports. But the numbers can't be denied. So along those lines, let me follow the $3.50. Is this another $3.50 on top of it, or is this taking the already $3.50 that's on the tab and now allocating it toward the city?
Look, the city has no control over how the Blues charge their fans. What they do right now, they say, look, you want to buy this seat in row 112, blah, blah, blah. It's $60, but we're going to tack on this $3.50 fee. They're just getting $63.50.
Okay.
That's their revenue. They've chosen to sort of push off part of it into what they're calling a facility fee, but it's simply part of the ticket price.
Okay.
They've just designated it differently.
Okay, I follow you.
Yeah, I mean, and so right now it's just
You're saying with this,
I'm just saying
then it would go to 67 essentially?
You know, however the Blues choose to charge their fans for the tickets they charge is up to them. What I'm saying is that if you're going to designate something as a facility fee, let's actually use it for the facility. Because, you know, the hockey ownership group gets to charge whatever they want for the tickets. When the naming rights come up in 2 years, guess who gets all the revenue for the naming rights of a facility that the city is being charged for upgrading? It ain't the city. There's a lot of revenue in that facility from the ticket prices to the naming rights. And the city, all we see is a fraction, and the small fraction, by the way, of sales tax of the items sold there. Okay. The state gets the lion's share of that sales tax. And guess what the state's coming to the table with? Nothing. The city gets a very small fraction of just the sales tax of the items sold there. It's a small percentage. When you break out sales tax, what the city gets is small.
Look, we could give us a number.
Of what?
What the percentage is that they get of that.
So when you break out sales tax, it's something like 8 or 9%. The state gets 51% of that. Then you got schools and some other things. The city gets around, I might bungle this, but it's around 3%, 3.5%. The state, again, gets about 4.1. You know, the city gets 3.2, something like that. You know, you've got those other, you know, small taxing districts, the zoo and schools and all that other stuff that plays in.
So every dollar in tax, you get 3 cents?
Something like that, yeah.
So I get when I was going forth the $3.50, and that's a $3.50 fee. That's not a percentage, is that a percentage? It averages out to $3.50.
Well,
is that
what we did was we took the revenue from the Blues, $60 million a year, and we said, okay, in order to generate enough money to kind of come up with exactly what we need to bond out for the improvements they've laid out in phase one that they want the city to participate in, that's going to be 5% of those overall $60 million revenues that they that the ticket sales generate a year. That's just ticket sales. And that just happens to be 5% happens to be $3.50 on the average ticket price of between $70 and $80 a ticket, which is what the Blues identified as their sort of average ticket price.
Okay.
So it just so happens to work out sort of magically in this magic, you know, numbers land, you know, but I think that that's a remarkable coincidence and one that works very well.
But it works very well from the city perspective. But if I'm the Blues, and again, you could correct me on this, I'm just trying to follow where you're going with it. If they're currently taking in $3.50 per ticket, and now that $3.50 they are not taking in per ticket, that's going to cost them a lot of money.
Look, the upgrades of the facility are really significant. Okay. If they can't eke out 5%, you're going to tell me they've come before us and said, we're going to get more fans down there. The ticket prices are going to be higher. We're going to generate more revenue. That's where they can make up the difference. Okay. And those additional fans that are coming down and a higher ticket price, an upgrade in the facility is going to more than validate additional revenue coming into their pockets. I mean, that's a no-brainer. 5% is nothing compared to the $65 million worth of upgrades.
So if it is a no-brainer, then why is there a stalemate?
there's not a stalemate. We're going to be moving forward with this. We've got a lot of support down at the board. I've been talking to lots of folks in the general public.
And the Blues are on board?
This is being deliberated at the Board of Aldermen right now. Nobody from the Blues has picked up the phone and called me specifically. I do hope that changes, and I'm looking to change that in the next couple of weeks. But we are moving forward with this. Look,
who would it be with the Blues that you would be communicating with? Would it be Chris Zimmerman?
It could be. We had a couple of folks come down to the board last year. Their legal team primarily represented their interests. I think that's kind of typical.
Mm-hmm.
My phone number is pretty easy to find. But I'm not alone in this. Many of my colleagues have joined on board. When we are responsible for making those cuts, for telling our constituents why their garbage hasn't been collected for the third week in a row, why we don't have police responding to the shooting that happened on their block last week, we are responsible for that. The aldermen are. We get those calls at 1 a.m. Look, my neighbor was shot. I called the police. Where are they? They're too busy dealing with shootings on the other end of the neighborhood. There's a lot of stuff going on that we have to be able to accommodate for. And we are looking to, again, protect the city services that we are able to provide. We're a great city. We need a top-notch hockey facility, but we also need to be able to pick up your garbage and, pave your streets and keep the city functioning and be able to attract and retain residents and businesses down here to generate revenue for us.
How big of a financial hit was it when the Rams left?
It's pretty big. I don't know that I have the numbers right now for what that actually means financially for the city, but it was a hit.
Like millions?
Like millions?
Yeah.
I would say in the millions a year, yeah.
Really? Well, that pays for a lot of police work there,
it,
too.
It could, yeah.
Were you involved at the time as an alderman when that was going on?
Yeah, I'd just come on the board.
Hey, what did you think of that whole deal.
Oh, that was a mess. It was a mess. Yeah. I mean, it was really, really just
what,
a mess.
What, go in depth on what the mess was.
Oh, I can't. It was too involved. I mean, I was new down there. The city's board of aldermen, we need to have a more deliberative process in how we analyze major projects like this.
Well, should be able to get a lease.
Here's what the problem was too. Our session ended. This thing got thrown on us. We had 3 weeks. I mean,
talking NFL or Scott Trade?
Scott Trade. Okay. I mean, without the lease, a lot of times, by design, these things come down there. They're rammed through at the very, very last, no pun intended, on the very last minute, and we have no time to really go through. Something that people don't realize is that the Board of Aldermen, we don't have staffing. We have 29 aldermen, one lawyer to share between 29 of us. And that is that's untenable. I mean, you look at, state reps, look at Jeff City. Every state rep has their own legal analyst working for them. St. Louis County, each of the county council members has their own legal analyst working for them. We have one that we share. We get 1/29th. My secretary, I share between 5 other aldermen. I mean, the capacity.
Some would say there's too many aldermen. I've heard that argument.
And I agree with that. And that's why reducing the number of aldermen in 2021 is going to be a good thing. But
how many aldermen will there be in 2021?
We are going to reduce to 14. So we're going to half.
Oh, wow.
So that's going to be a step in the right direction. I mean, without any capacity down there, every single board bill has tens and tens of pages. Most of us down there aren't lawyers. I'm a mathematician. We have other folks that come from different backgrounds. But you really need legal analysis, financial analysis to facilitate, an alderman who, by the way, this is a part-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us do other things. You have to have capacity to be able to adequately review things like this. And I'd like to see that change. It's necessary that it changes, or we're going to find ourselves in these states again.
Can I just say, usually the truth is somewhere in between when you're discussing very complex issues. I'm concerned, and I think you're fighting the fight that you think is just. I'm just afraid, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the Rams up and left when everyone said, oh, they're not going anywhere. I don't think the Blues want to leave, but I think there's a big void left when one of our teams leaves, and I hope that doesn't happen. I hope you guys work it out. I just want to say, I hope it's all worked out.
I hope so, too. And again, that's why we included that provision to provide the framework for MLS, NBA, another team to come in. We want to make sure that this is not a big guessing game. You know, when you're looking at the St. Louis market, you're looking at trying to coordinate between St. Louis City, St. Louis County. I mean, it's a very complex, if I'm a team owner and I'm thinking, I'm just going to go somewhere where there's just a one-stop shop. I mean, how am I going to negotiate with all these terms? It's very, very daunting. I mean, that's how big companies look at our region. We're a fractionated mess of a region in a lot of ways. So we're trying to, with this, also provide a reasonable, responsible, and reliable mechanism for future investment of future team owners.
How much of this is solved by a merger with St. Louis County?
A lot of it. Again, when you're looking specifically at Scottrade, 51% of the fan base, the people that go down there, live in between St. Louis City and St. Louis County. Now, there are other, you know, you talk about St. Charles, St. Clair. You know, we are a much bigger region than just St. Louis City and St. Louis County, but it does do a lot. I mean, St. Louis County is where the bulk of the tax base in the region really has gone to. I grew up in St. Louis County, actually, very familiar with that area. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place to be. But merging those two in some capacity, whether it looks like a reentry, a combination, a merger, will do a lot to solidify and kind of hone our region down.
Kara, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming.
Yep.
And thank you
anytime.
I'm going to give you a bell.
I'm going to give myself a bell.
There it is. Yeah, that's in vogue in this studio. We appreciate it. The alderman of the 20th ward, Kara Spencer, in with us here this morning on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Kara, thank you so much.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
We'll take a break. Come back with a Hot Shots email today.